Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrew.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私はヘブルで、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Aloha, my sister.
Shalom and greetings. Grace be unto you all and peace from Elohim our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless you. I am Sister Ashley with another Sister to Sister show. I'm glad to have Mother Jennifer with me tonight in Georgia. Please give me a sound check. One being the lowest and least heard, and 10 being the loudest. Thanks for tuning in to the computer or to the phone if you're listening live tonight. Thanks for participating, giving us your time. That is very precious. You have one life to live. Mother Jennifer, let's get a sound check.
Hallelujah. Bless you, and shalom, Sister Ashley. Blessings to the daughters of Zion. It's good to be here. I'm glad that we both have power this week, and you can hear both of our voices at the same time. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here with all of you for another episode of Sister to Sister. And I am pulling up my chat now, and I hope everyone can hear me. I can hear you, Sister Ashley, and we can move forward when you're ready.
Hallelujah. Hey, we're going to get right off into it. Mama Jennifer is going to be traveling tomorrow, and I don't want to hold her up too long tonight. At the same time, she has a commitment, and we have a commitment to each of you, and that at this time is priority. I want to just get off into the emails tonight and then give you guys an invite to write any emails. You can send them in, ask us anything that you believe would help you or anyone listening. It's straightwayhelpmeets@gmail.com, all lowercase, and we have it live and up in front of us, or I do, for you if you would like to use it at this time. So going forward on tonight's show, send us an email. We're going to kick it off with three emails, and I'm going to ask some questions to Mother Jennifer. Last week, yes, electricity went off in the middle of the show for me, and electricity was off in Georgia where Mother Jennifer was, if you remember. And Mother Jennifer, how long was it off where you were?
Sister Ashley, I believe it went off at about 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it came back up about 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So it was off for a minute, but we were good here. We were prepared, and we were good.
Hallelujah. It was only an hour or a little less maybe for us last week. So, yeah, I sat in this seat ready to go live if the power came back on. And I had two in the audience with me. We sat here for a little bit, and we knew it wasn't coming back. So went ahead and left. But I was thankful that Shakina was able to chime in. Shakina was at a different location running the board, and she was able to bring in or come in on the microphone and talk to y'all. So that was nice. It's been a while since I've warned you all that our electricity does go off here even when there isn't storms. And if that happens, you can give it at least 15 minutes, and I will come back on live if it comes back on in 15 minutes. That's what happened. So off to tonight's show. You ready to get into some emails, Mother?
I am ready, Sister Ashley.
I asked Mother right before we went live this question. It's a quick email, and I just want her to give the same answer and give her heart to those that are listening. The email says, I have a sister here in, and she names the location, who does not really have anyone here to connect with that's her age. Would you be able to recommend a pen pal type of deal for her to connect with a sister around her age? She happens to be 19 years old. Mother Jennifer, not just for this young 19-year-old, but what is your general direction?
General direction, Sister Ashley, I think when I think of the word pen pal, I think of, someone who writes just to keep in touch, but we're more about accountability. So if this sister is looking for accountability, that would be great, and it would need to be someone who is really strong and established in the faith themselves, not necessarily just communicating back and forth, but there would need to be meaning and growth taking place. So that was my suggestion. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. And if I were speaking to someone who desired a connection in that age area, 19 or so, of course it's always up to her father. If she doesn't have a father, then her mother. Sometimes at 19, they come without a mother or a father, and that's when you would entreat them to follow a sound age woman. In our society, you would think that girls need to congregate with their own age. That's not always safe, So you have to consider the friends and the families that's in your fellowship, and who you would entrust with, just like Mother Jennifer said. But at the same time, at 19 years old, you should also desire to learn how to be a wife and a mother. So you would seek to someone who is aged and mature and doing those things. And sometimes rejection and isolation will begin to talk to a 19-year-old, 16-year-old, or even 14-year-old when they don't have friends their age. But our custom is to not allow sisters or women to gad abroad and to do a lot of relationship building without wisdom and without someone, guiding your feet. So anything to add to that, Mother Jennifer?
I think that's right. Very right. Very spot on. I have nothing to add, Sister Ashley.
All right. We got another one. Let me jump back to my emails here. I didn't tell Mother Jennifer early which emails I was going to pull out. Sometimes she'll print them and read them for us. So another short email. Shalom, Mother and Sister Ashley. during the show last night, which she happened to write October the 13th, okay, so she's referring to a show a few weeks ago. But she says, during the show last night, I know the Compassion and Gentleness was directed to sisters, and it ministered to me as a mother, to my children, because I have been convicted in the area of being more gentle and nurturing to them because I am harsh and impatient. Sister Ashley, you mentioned there's a wolf inside of women, and I absolutely believe that to be true for myself. I still have a hard time with frustrations and anger towards my daughters that I cannot get to the root of. May you please help me in this area. What does striving to let them see the y'all in me look like? What do I need to do? Everything seems like it's just going through the motions at this point. I repent. I break curses. I apologize to them. We've gotten deliverance often, but it's still an area that I need major, major change. Hallelujah. Let's talk about it for a minute, Mother Jennifer. What's the first thing that comes to your spirit?
The first thing that comes to my spirit is just looking within your generational line and looking at, you know, how your relationship was with your mother. What was her demeanor towards you? I find that a lot of times, you know, some of the older mothers, they were stressed because they were taking on a lot of roles that were really not intended for them. So they were under a lot of stress and just a lot of frustration. And so, you know, we grew up under that. And so you have to look at your generational line. You know, what were you exposed to? What shaped you? What molded you? And start there with breaking those curses and really realizing when you're operating in under the spirit of Yah and when you're operating in the flesh. So that's, I know it sounds simple, but that is a just a really good, simple start to take. Sister Ashley.
Yes, that's a really good start, and I wanted to share. I had asked Deacon, and I'm referring to Deacon Bill, my master and husband. I had asked him, what is anger with sin? Y'all know the verse, right? Be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down on your wrath. Be angry and sin not. Okay. So we can quote that and we can know that, but what is the borderline? What is that sinful place, right? Because we are going to be tempted to be angry in this flesh. My goodness, the flesh is weak, so we can be tempted for the rest of our lives. We have to gain mastery, right, in that area. Each of us do. So to be angry and sin not, what is it to be angry and sin? That's what I asked him. And he said, allowing anger to cause ill will. Allowing your anger to cause ill will and hatred that will change your uprightness towards someone else. So when you've allowed your anger to change a nature that you should have towards your child or towards, you know, your husband, whatever that anger is that is brewed inside you long enough, you have crossed into malice, ill will, and hatred. You've crossed over into sin. And so the confession is different than if I just get angry and I shake it off. You know, because I felt it, I experienced it. Father, man, I give you these thoughts. This is what I heard. This is what I thought. Like, I'm letting this go. That's different than day after day seeing a pattern. And so now you're going to have to dive deeper into your confessions. Like she said, generationally, yes. Confessing your anger as sin and turning from sin, literally taking it that serious. This anger is sin, right? But also renouncing the cycle. Renouncing the cycle of anger, condemnation, depression. Anger, condemnation, depression, or whatever the cycle may be. I always said this to myself, and I share it to anyone who's ever needed it, that it's who you are when you're not in your flesh, when you're not angry. It's who you are in that moment that's going to help you prepare for the other moments. Let me slow down. So if I'm sitting in this chair, I'm not feeling any anger. Right, I'm not feeling any flesh. If I'm driving in my car, I'm not feeling any anger. I'm not feeling any hatred, rejection, whatever. In the moments that you're not in your feelings, the meditations in your mind, putting the word of Yah into your mind when you're not in your feelings is what is going to help you when the feelings arise. We can't be complacent or passive in the moments where we don't feel anything. And then game time comes, feelings of anger and impatience and frustration rise, and then we jump in our flesh. So in this particular instance, if you're having a struggle with your frustrations and anger towards your daughters, it's the times that you're not angry that you're going to need to be thinking and repenting so that you can start producing. So that time and that meditation is going to help you produce more smiles for your daughters and more comfort towards them, more hugs, things that you didn't get, right? Now, at the same time, because I know you're single and I know that you don't have a husband for those daughters, that can be a root of anger. That can be a reason for anger because you know that they would have a benefit if that man was in their life, right? And so that's something you have to take to the Father. What about anger towards Yah for how your life is? Anger towards Yah that you feel alone. Anger towards Yah that you wake up every day to these girls that you feel completely insufficient in taking care of. And there's nobody but you. You know, angry at your mother and father for doing the same thing to you that your husband did. Right? Now I'm getting hypothetical and not speaking directly because I don't know your heart the way you know your heart. But taking your child's disobedience personal is where you can sin. Because if a child doesn't act of any kind, whether disobedience, spill something, didn't listen, any of those things, that disobedience isn't personal towards you. It feels like it. It feels like it's an act against you. It feels like in their mind they're literally saying, Mom, I'm not going to listen to anything you say. I'm going to do it my way, right? But everything is done against the Father. It's a contrary nature in all of us. The same nature in your daughters is the nature in you. It's the nature in me. So it's not done personally to you as much as it is unto the Father. Not to over-spiritualize and say that they hate Yah because they're spilling things and not listening. No, right? But to make sure you're removing that personalization, making sure you're taking that away so that, hey, something gets dropped, spilt, something gets done and forgotten. When those things occur, you can be more confident in training, repeating, training, repeating, training, repeating, and not frustrated that this cycle in her should have ended already. When I'm actually laboring to train my child up in the way that she should go continually without stop. And I don't know how I believed that there was supposed to be a stop, right? Because I'm a trainer. I'm a mother. That's what I do. So I'm going to labor with them to the end. And really, your email is saying that you're willing to grow together. You know, you said you repent, you break curses, you apologize to them, you get deliverance, you move on. So that's great. Mom Jennifer, your words?
I'm glad you brought up taking things personally, you know, taking their disobedience personally, because you're right. A lot of times we miss the fact that their disobedience is not just against you. You know, it's something that needs to be corrected, yes, but it's not something that you should take personally. When you take things personally, then you can't think right because you're operating in the flesh. And one thing I wanted to add was, are you dealing with their misbehavings as they come, or do you let them continually slide and then things are building up and then you're exploding? And I remember Mama Nelly talking about this during a feast. You know, she said, you're not dealing with things at home, and then when they come to a feast, you're frustrated and you're embarrassed. And so then you want to discipline the child, but you got to make sure that there's a balance. You have to make sure that you're being consistent. And so also I wanted to say you have to look at Yah's faithfulness in their development. So a lot of times we can look at a child, let's say we have a four-year-old, and we have to remember, okay, they are 4 years old. Yes, they can do a lot, and we expect a lot out of them, but they're still 4 years old. So look at how Yah has developed them in these 4 years, and trust that he's going to continue to do that. So they're still children, they still need guidance, and they still need your help, just like we still need the help of Yah. So if you compare what he does for us and how he helps us, it really helps to put ourselves in our children's shoes and, you know, we don't give them a pass all the time at all. You know, we hold them accountable because we need to be held accountable, but we don't take it personally. We stay consistent with their discipline, and we remember his faithfulness in the areas of their development. Sister Ashley.
Well said. Just don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on the Father, and don't give up on the process. You know that everything they're doing now, they can and will grow and develop out of it, especially the more you confess and change. Everything that you are changing about you is going to directly affect them. Talk to the Father, my sisters, my mothers, about you, who you are, and search your heart at his feet. So if you say, I'm frustrated that I didn't sleep, and now I'm sassing off to my daughter. You know, I'm mad at myself because I didn't get up 30 minutes early enough to pray like I said I was, or I hit the alarm and talk to the Father about those personal things, because we tend to hold so much in our heads. And when you don't verbalize it, he can't wash you of it. And he can't allow you to see within yourself further than that negative thought, you know. Confessing your selfishness, that your children are undeserving of your flesh. But I also want to bring the balance that we as mothers are to be stern without repentance. So you don't want to be in a cycle of every time you correct and every time you're stern, now you're feeling condemned and you want to apologize. So be aware of that, that the enemy in us as women always wants to make things softer, you know, take away the impact because of how we feel, the rejection we deal with. We don't want our children to feel. So breathe. That's important. Breathe. Take a few breaths before you even speak to your children in your anger, in your frustration. You know, sit down on their level. Sit down in the chair beside of her when you correct her. Bring your flesh into subjection when you speak. You know, slow yourself down. Look at them and let them look at you. Everything doesn't have to be dramatized. The big show. Got to give you as many, I got to give you my tone and my volume because you've wronged me. Right? To threat, make them feel a certain way. No. To put any form of mind control on them. No. But there has to be a sternness without repentance. So there's a balance, that authority that you do have over your children. We are authority over children. That's in y'all's order, you know. And I know that as a single mother, you don't have the strength of a man's speech. And that's just something you're going to talk to the Father about and stay in prayer about. Because it's something I have. It's something Mother Jennifer has. So we may give you answers based on the strength of our man or the way that he or they run their house. And you're going to have to find that same balance of strength in your home as a single mother. But don't let the devil accuse you and condemn you of if you are giving your absolute all and best. You do have times that you have to stand as a mother, not fearing their thoughts and their emotions. Though you feel how they feel. There's an evil, ungodly soul tie that can exist between a mother and a child that's going to allow you to feel the same way as your child feels. That's also how arrested development can operate. If I as a mother, am being controlled by how my child feels beyond the natural affection to correct them and put their feet in open places and show them the way that they should be, then I got more confessing to do. So Mother Jennifer and I, spoke from different aspects, you know, from taking it personal to being stern in your frustration without repentance, you know. So you have to discern your own body. Now, as far as anger, and be angry and sin not, remember from day to day not to hold those wrongs, you know. As you're working on the nature of your children and you're working on your nature, it is a lot. And the devil can make it feel overwhelming. It's going to take more crying out and dependency on the Creator. Now, there's one more aspect that I want to speak about, and I'll speak freely, is that coming out of the world, all of us have been I'm talking about sisters and women. We have a tendency to be very critical and judgmental of other women and other people's children. And I sincerely apologize for anything that you may have had to endure in that area, if you have. But guess what? I can't take that feeling from you, that experience from you. I can't take that pressure from you. Mother Jennifer mentioned the embarrassment at the feast that someone might feel because you feel the presence of criticism, you feel the presence of judgmentalism, or you might just be accusing in your mind, and there might be zero criticism around you. But one aspect of raising your children with this many other children and this many other mothers and so many different ways presented, it is going to allow Satan to run rampant in women's minds in the area of criticism. And we can make it difficult for other women to raise their children. We can. Hopefully we don't, but we can. Mother Jennifer?
Absolutely, Sister Ashley. You know, I think that we have to remember that everybody's walk is different. And we just need to be able to support one another in a way where we're showing love and support without being overly critical, if that makes sense. So, yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I think we handled that email. Thank you for helping me out. Anger will build up to resentment. Anger will build up to retaliation. And, you know, you don't want those natures. If you recognize it, confess it, get it under the blood. The Father's faithful, merciful to forgive us. Anger can build up to backbiting, gossiping, contention, and murder and violence, which we know those are also even Leviathan's characters. But anger can really, really be held in the heart. Now, I only have one more email, and I purposely tonight have dived into the emails, I believe, by the Father leading me, because right before the show, I thought we were just going to cover this anger email. You know, that's enough to really, like, chew on and sit on. And then I go into the emails, Mother Jennifer, and I find one that you and Mother Chris had covered on a week that I wasn't here. Let me find it again. Got to go down farther. Yeah. And I thought anger would really tie into this. You know, I've said before, y'all, that if you ask me or Mother Jennifer a question, you could ask us each week and we would answer it differently. Not because it's a different answer, but because every time we're going to have the same voice, same spirit, different way of, you know, relaying the answer. And so that's why I want to revisit the email. I want to revisit it because you guys had a great dialogue that night and talked about a lot of things. So let's go back to this one right here. It says, did you have an internal struggle with accepting what the word says about women, and how did you combat that in your mind? I don't know if you remember that question, Mother Jennifer, or if you don't, would you answer it? And here it is one more time. Did you have an internal struggle with accepting what the word says about women, and how did you combat that in your mind? Mother Jennifer?
I don't remember this question, but I can say this, that, you know, when I first came into the way and I came into the faith, and I realized that, you know, what we were taught from the world about women, how the world will exalt a woman. Oh, the world will literally worship a woman. The world will put a woman first. And when I truly learned the rightful place of a woman, that a woman is to be submissive, total sense to me. It really did. Now, what I can say is that early on, I did have struggles about you know, women, just the wickedness of a woman, the nature of a woman. I did have struggles about that. I literally was worried at one point, and because I would see these things in me, and it was, for me personally, it was very disheartening, but it was something that I truly had to take to Yah and ask him to help me. And this really ties into what they talked about last night on Lion's Den, you know, the high places, that the things that we've exalted in our own minds, the things that we've ignored, because this could be considered something that you might think is small. You might think that it could be a form of humility, you know, that a woman is to be submissive, and that it's humble to be disturbed about how you see yourself as a woman, you know, when you see the nature that is in you. But Yah wants us to be able to walk in freedom. He wants us to be able to walk in his confidence, not in condemnation. And so it really is about taking care of the thing that we've exalted above the that exalts itself above Yah, the high places in our mind that has nothing to do with exalting him, but it puts our own thoughts, our own condemnations, our own fears, you know, the preconceived fears, the things that we think about ourselves, the self-hatred. You know, we put all that above the love that he has for us. And so I thought it was really good last night when they were talking about we should be utterly destroying these high places that are not of Yah. Like, we should literally be discerning ourselves and seeking out anything within us that exalts itself against the knowledge of Yah. And when they went back and they read from Numbers 33 about driving out the inhabitants of the land, I think about, you know, just how when you first come into the faith and you learn about deliverance, and this was the path that I took that really helped me. You learn about deliverance. You learn about driving out the inhabitants of the land, those things that are contrary to Yah. You have to literally use force and drive those things out. And when you look at, you know, the definition of drive, it means to literally cast out and to ruin and to expel. So you have to tear those things down. But for me, Sister Ashley, that is what helped me. Deliverance definitely helped me in that area, making my confessions to Yah, identifying the fact that it was a false humility that I was dealing with, and I didn't want to walk in self-hatred or condemnation anymore at all. Sister Ashley?
This was a good question and good email. Again, did you have an internal struggle with accepting what the word says about women, and how did you combat that in your mind? I like your answer, Mother Jennifer. I always do, because it, you know, it expresses your thought pattern, you know, and your meditations. It's who you are. I like that. And so when I consider how I want to answer, I always like to come clean too. I like to, you know, speak very, you know, I try to condescend. I learned that from Pastor, that word condescend. They try to come down to reach someone else, to try to truly help them, to encourage the righteous, you know. And I think I would start by saying that I can't imagine me. I'm just, my personal testimony, I can't imagine listening to Pastor Dow and not knowing him. Okay? I have known him, and it makes listening and understanding very different. Okay? That would be like I can understand Deacon Bell, but you might come over to the house, hear him talk, not knowing him at all, and completely interpret it differently than I would, knowing him. You know, that's what I mean. So I thank the Father for his goodness, because I'm able to listen and understand in the way that I need to for my soul. And then you, who may not know him, have to produce a strength to understand the word without knowing him. Okay, that's my first thought. But knowing the Father the way that I do, and by no stretch of imagination are we, any of us, in full understanding of knowing the Father, but knowing Yah's mind now in the way that I didn't when the truth and the word really started, you know, dealing with women, and the direction was just really, really woman strong, you know. I know that the Father will search your heart by stirring you up. And the way that he stirs you up is because he knows your wicked flesh will not confess who you really are without being stirred. And when you're stirred up because of his love and his intentions to purge you, to bring you into life after death, because this is just pregame. Because he wants to bring you into life after death, these things have to be felt and brought to the surface in order to confess, so that your heart can be made clean. He binds himself to his word, and he will literally be able to say, depart, I never knew you, right? Because even if he knows you by name, you didn't come clean for him, to make yourself known to him, you know. So the internal struggle can evolve from, okay, I can hear this verse being administered, or I can hear this blog talk, I can hear a pastor in this dynamic, I can feel rejection, for example. Or like she said, I can feel self-hate, for example. You, whatever you feel in that moment, you got to catch that and discern that and take that to the Father, because it's going to stay there literally for the rest of your life if you don't clean it. So the way you clean it is you confess it, plead his blood, and really desire to turn, right? And so the internal struggle will change, because maybe you will feel a hate, maybe you'll feel a despite, maybe you'll feel a offense, you know, because I'm basing this off of just feedback and noticing over the years, you know, from those who I called him Diablo, you know, talking about pastor. I said this, I thought this, I was never coming this way, you know, and some people receive the truth of the word about women against their own persons, you know, so they can't receive it past their own rejection of themselves. And when you reject yourself so strongly and for so long, anything that comes against self is going to make you rise or to form a shell, you know. That shell is to protect you from the pain and the hurt that you don't ever want to feel again, because that's all the world gave you. That's all, of course, Satan gave you. And you just don't want to, you don't want to feel that, you know. So pride is just a self-defense mechanism. But I remember years ago, I would hear a voice, and I knew it was a spirit. But remember, you know, when we hear voices as spirits, they come at you at your weak point. So, like, I could tell you something that I hear, and you'd be like, that is so silly, right? But for me, attached to my feelings and attached to my weakness, it's everything, right? That's how our bodies and our flesh works. So for me, why were we created? We're just cursed. That was the voice. It would not, it was like 6 months hard of why even create a woman if we're just cursed? If there's nothing good, right? Now, then of course, when you know the word and the enemy brings the word to you in unrighteousness and just piles it on, oh, take that with what's being preached and you just got defeatism all day. You know, nothing but depression and no reason to live and hopelessness, right? That's the end goal for Satan. But, yeah, so did I have an internal struggle? I want to say that, like, for example, I got a notebook in front of me, right? I'm going to try to, I know you're not here for a visual, any of you are not here for a visual, but I got a notebook right here, I got paper, I got words written on it. I got sticky notes, I got some words written up here, Elder Becker's got sticky notes, I'm talking, capitalize on the word, word. Okay, I got words written all over the office. I got a calendar with words on it. The phone is beeping, line in use because I'm on Blog Talk. It's got words. These words are all around me, but none of them so powerful as the word. And when the word says something, you know it's spiritual, because it's coming into your spirit to divide you asunder, to truly prick your heart and stir you and search you. That is the Most High's intention. Now, because of a feeling realm and it feeling so negative or whatever the flesh may, you know, label it as it begins to clean itself, as you begin to clean you in this way, you can really feel a certain type of way all day if you want to. Like, damn. Got this going on, this, I got the, blah, 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 right? All these things, because that word is that cutting. But if you can think like your creator, who has given you a spirit of adoption to bring you into a family, having predestined you into the adoption, you can say, okay, you're stirring me so that I'll confess this, so that I'll understand your love, because this is the thing that's keeping me from you. And so once again, as I end my ramble, I think I would just encourage anyone that might be struggling inside themselves with what the word says about a woman or what Pastor Dow even says about a woman. Whatever your struggles are, voicing it to the Father is how you're going to get free. Trapping it in your mind and trying to do the checklist, crossing it out, moving it over, deleting it, inbox, trash, moving it to all these other folders inside your head is not going to clean you, you know, and there's something about this carnal flesh that just moves stuff, you know, so you got to verbalize it, you got to speak it out, you got to speak what you're hearing, what you're feeling, and let the Father clean you, you know, just as he would clean everyone else that he loves. Mother Jennifer.
Right, and I'm glad you brought up, you know, allowing yourself to be stirred, like really understanding that you're being stirred so that you can make the proper confessions. And when you think about our leadership, our pastors, our elders, our deacons, our teachers, when you think about that and, you know, how they lovingly deal with women, it is to stir us. You know, it literally is to stir us, to get us to confess, to get us to see ourselves. And when you understand that, then you'll see the love, and you'll be able to get rid of the rejection, and you'll be able to fully receive the love. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Thanks for listening. It doesn't look like anyone had any fresh emails tonight. Hopefully that means that you really loved it. I wanted to read a chat post from Sister Heidi. She said, Shalom, sisters, please find the Sister to Sister from February the 2nd of 2021 called Purge the Wickedness of a Woman. It's a great show that goes along with this show. Hey, thanks for being a pupil, Sister Heidi, and just being able to connect the dots. Thank you all, Sister Malia, for all the years of you listening. Thank you for showing up, being here. Hallelujah. And that's it. I want to play a song and get out of here. Bless Mother Jennifer again for being with me, and also just for, you know, in your going and coming tomorrow and the things you got going on for the rest of the weekend. Love you dearly, Mother Jennifer. Go ahead and end the show from your end.
Hallelujah. It's always a pleasure to be here, Sister Ashley. Thank you for having me on, and bless you to all the daughters of Zion. Shalom.
Hallelujah. Bless y'all. Enjoy the song, and we're on our way out. Tune in tomorrow to Pastor Dow's Blog Talk, and then on, oh, you know what, guys? I almost forgot real quickly. I had this note written down. Let me pop this back open. Someone had asked on an email, and I didn't keep the email up. Oh, about autism. Specifically, autism for girls, any references, anywhere to go, you know, for studies or things like that. Until Yah changes Deacon Bell's household and my mind, anyone with autism, I'm sending to Johanna. Anyone with autism, I'm sending to Johanna Moore. Okay? That's me. That's personally. That's what he does. That's what we do. That's who we suggest. Now, as far as people humbling themselves and going to ask for help and getting it from her, I don't know. You know, because there's a lot of just challenges, embarrassments, prides, things that you have to deal with when raising a child like that that I have not experienced and I cannot imagine. And so with compassion, I send them to Johanna. There's quite a few people that, you know, bring strength to the ministry. And depending on who you ask, you know, Mother Jennifer might have her list of people that she, hey, if you got this question, go to her. If you got this question, go to her. And I got mine too. You know, if it's homesteading questions, you know, I'm sending you to Sonia Crago. You know, if you have a teaching or homeschool question, there's so many. There's endless. It'll be just whoever comes up in my mind. But for sure, Sister Hadassah in Georgia. For sure, you have Bonnie in Georgia. Of course, you can talk to me if you want to. I'm growing in that. I've grown so much. I'm really trying to master teaching. This year I have put hours into learning how to teach writing. And thank you, Sister LaShonda. I have also leaned to her, not just for writing and some help, but years ago I leaned to LaShonda too, who's a homeschool mom. So we have a really well communicative and I don't know, just a good system, a network of people that Yah gets all the glory for putting them into my life. So mastering teaching is something that I'm doing. I've learned a lot when it comes to maybe legalities and laws. Of course, you can find that all online, but maybe Granny Barb can help you. You know, Granny Barb was a helper and teacher here before I became a teacher. You know we have the newsletters. I send people to the newsletters for the Ruach. I'm saying some of this information right now for anyone new. There's some, oftentimes just one new listener, right, on our show. So the newsletters are great. Just had an email about T-Seats or Tassels. Which one, what do we do, right? I'm sending you to the newsletter, straightwaytruth.com. It's there. Same for feast days and moons and, you know, oh, my gosh, so much, clean and unclean food. As far as femininity, I'm going to send you to Mother Carol, and maybe everybody would send everybody to Mother Carol. She's not our only example, but she has had femininity always be a part of her since I've known her. So maybe Mother could teach you femininity, but maybe you need somebody to, like, who's transformed from being a certain way to strive to be masculine, right? And then the numbers get even smaller. It's like, a lot of people are still on ground zero, just trying to, you know, allowing Yah's Ruach to really, really change them. So, but we have those answers. We have Elder Kabir for legal matters. You know, if you want to connect with our leaders, our elders, if you think you need them, if you want to talk to an elder, we always say call the number behind pastor and get in contact with Elder Becker. He handles hundreds of phone calls a month. He's constantly in this office, and you can't imagine how wise he's become in his answering phone calls. If that's all you did for years, just answered the saints' phone calls, right? Can you imagine the growth inside your being from taking every phone call as serious business and having the fear of Yah with you and doing that hundreds of times every month? So all praise to the Father for that. Anything about birth and body, like reproduction questions, things like that, I'm always going to send you to Sister Gabby. That's just me. That doesn't mean that that's limited within the ministry of our connections. And, of course, if you want herbs and you have any desire for herbs for sale, things for your body, I'm sending you to Koya. You know, and that's just some of the things I wanted to put on air because we had an email. I got a beautiful song I'm going to play, and then I'm leaving y'all. What's a short night, huh? Shout out to you, Sister Vieira, seeing you in there tonight. Thank you for listening. And I always send my international sisters to Granny Diane. I don't know how that got started, but it was some time ago that Sister Sharon and Sister Hannah might have been Diane's first contacts out in Africa, and then it just kind of grew from there to her having, you know, more international connections, and she's really sound in the word. Diane has always been sound in the word, and every answer, she's been a good friend to hold me accountable, you know. I mean, for years. Diane's been a great friend to me. Experienced a lot. Our friendship has been tested, tried, and true. So let me play a song that I actually thought about you, Mother Chris, if you're listening. I actually thought about my pastor on this one, thinking that my elder and my pastor in Goshen would love it if they're able to even hear it. If not, praise be to Yah, you guys for listening. Thank you again to Goshen for hits number 2. Bless your sister Aya and Timu's children. Give them hugs for me. I love y'all. I'm going out. My audience, my whopping audience, give a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Y'all didn't know I had 2 of them. Bless y'all. I'll get it again. Here we go.
So if I never ever told you that I love you and adore you, I'm telling you now.
I appreciate